Hey, it's Jason Rantz here. Looking to shed pounds safely? Follow my lead and secure your free consultation over at Eastside Weight Loss Clinic. They've uncovered the secret to losing up to a pound of fat a day. Their program prioritizes rapid weight loss and a metabolism reset without injections or drugs. With their dedicated staff offering unwavering support, you can reach your weight loss goals. From personal success, they not only help me reach my weight goals, but also maintain them. It's not just a program. It is a lasting lifestyle change. Learn more at EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. That's EastsideWeightLossClinic.com.
Dr. Ryan Coogan, D.C. Results may vary.
Welcome to another episode of The Leftovers. I'm Jason Rantz. You know that because you are a subscriber to the Jason Rantz Show podcast, which is how you're getting this extra content, which we do Monday through Friday with, a rare day off here and then. Sometimes I forget, but usually I don't, and so we chat. I got a story up today at ktdh.com. We didn't talk about it on the show because, for the most part, I had covered the basics of the story last week on air. But over the weekend, as I was doing some additional research on the Seattle Public Library closures that are going to be intermittent, a bunch of different ideas came sort of like streaming into my consciousness that I needed to get out. So I wrote about it at ktdh.com. But, I went down to the library in downtown Seattle over the weekend because, I hadn't been in a long time. And this was one of the reasons, this particular library, why you're seeing the closures. Now, when I got there, it was pretty clear what was going on. Now, the media is telling you that the intermittent closures is a result of two things. Number one, a staffing crisis. They just don't have enough staff. This is being tied in a lot of ways to the sort of post-pandemic staffing issues that, for the most part, have already been resolved, although, in fairness, some of it still exists. And then I was told, because we have, per a listener who saw this on one of the networks, I don't know which, basically saying that it's made worse by the fact that we have such a low unemployment rate, so there's just few people even interested in these jobs. Now, both of those things are 100% incorrect. In fact, I would argue that whoever the reporters are, know that that's not correct. Number one, we have a worse unemployment rate than the nation, okay? We're not doing better than the national average. We're doing a point worse, for starters. Number two, this is not a staffing crisis in the traditional sense. They do not have enough staff because they had to upgrade the staffing minimums in order to keep people safe. From what? Homeless. This is a homeless issue, a homeless addict issue. They are creating crises at these branches, whether it's because of aggression, whether it's because of getting violent. They're the ones who are causing the problems. And that's the only reason why there's a staffing crisis. We have more public library staff members today than we had in 2019 before COVID. Slightly more. And the world of libraries haven't changed that much over the course of the last 3 years that you would need a whole bunch of new staff members because, oh my God, we're just being overwhelmed by people who are interested in going to the library. That's just not the case, unless you look specifically at the homeless. And I found out over the weekend that there are, so far this year, a little over 100 security incidents that they were dealing with at the libraries. And this is across all of the branches. And the kinds of issues that we're dealing with vary, obviously, from area to area, for branch to branch. But generally speaking, we're talking about assaults. We're talking about a mental health crisis. We're talking, in some cases, even like stalking. So there are some, significant issues that they've had to deal with that is just not fair. It's really just not fair. You have people who are smoking their fentanyl in bathrooms. Like, you have to deal with this. You have to deal with this. And it's not fair to the staff members. But at the same time, you have a little over 100 incidents so far this year, which, by the way, puts us on pace to have more than what we had last year, which was 400 total. But in a lot of ways, the public library staff, they kind of ask for it. And I don't mean that in a, well, you get what you deserve way, but they're the ones who stepped forward and said, we're totally okay with homeless people using our facilities. It makes us feel good to allow everyone from all different backgrounds, including if you're homeless, or excuse me, unhoused, to come use our services. We're here for you. And they all said, via hiring what they were called at the time, at least, I believe they're still called social services librarians. These were staff members who would deal specifically with the homeless to connect them with services either in the city or at the county level, right? So when you hire social services librarians, when you're handing out naloxone to staff members to use, you are essentially serving as a magnet for the homeless. And so I get there over the weekend and they're homeless everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. I think that there were more homeless in the library than not. I honestly think that. They were just sleeping. They were passed out. Now, I didn't see anyone make any problem for anyone, right? So that's obviously a positive. And I don't care if someone who's homeless is minding their own business and happens to just go inside. Okay, I guess. Unless you're completely taking over every single seat, and I'm not going to pretend that, you know, whether or not someone is showered will not make a difference, because it clearly does. But if, you know, if it's a handful who are just, even if they're just sleeping, I don't care. Have at it. But obviously the problem is that they don't always just camp out and sleep and then leave at the end of the day. They can pose a serious security risk or a threat. And it's something that the librarians have taken on their own. And now they're suffering as a result of it. And if you did not have this homelessness crisis the way that they have now, because obviously homeless always went into libraries, that part's not new, but it's gotten so bad that they have to increase staff minimums. So again, that's not a staffing crisis in a traditional sense. You have taken on a larger responsibility. You've willfully taken it on. So that's on you guys to figure out. Now, at the end of the day, I'm not going to, you know, scream at the top of a mountains about the indignities that people will now face because they can't get into the library on certain, and I don't care about libraries at all, period. But to go to over 100 incidents so far that required police to be called, and at least as of today, as I'm talking, it's April 15th, like, that's not a good sign. That's clearly not a good sign. And things are going to get worse come summer, because when it's really, really hot out, they go into the libraries for the air conditioning. And that's going to attract some of the elements that will cause problems. But no one, for some reason, wants to tell you that. Looking at the news articles, no one is talking about homelessness at all. They don't even bring it up. They don't even bring it up. Seattle Times had, I think it was 9 words in a 700-plus word story about this. 9 words about the issue I'm bringing up, which is the main issue. Everyone else, every other news outlet that I've seen so far talks about, oh, this is a staffing crisis. Don't mention homelessness. Why is that? Why is that? I'm willing to bet that this is because the reporters who are responsible for the articles or the web pieces or the TV hits, they favor the very policies that have absolutely failed, that have led specifically to this crisis. And they don't want to call themselves out. They might not even see it as a problem. To them, it's like, yeah, of course you're going to have more staff members. You have homeless people are every much as deserving as you and I when it comes to being served at the library. Well, yes, to an extent, but they're not being served at the library for the purpose of a library. The purpose of a library is to go in and gain access to books, video, internet. You're supposed to be there to read or to study. It's not a shelter. Now, folks on the radical left believe it's a shelter. And here they are complaining about having to see some closures here. Yeah, well, again, you brought this on yourself. Now, on a similar topic, I have an editorial over at foxnews.com, and it's about a week from today. Again, I'm recording this on Monday. A week from today, there's a very important Supreme Court case. Oral arguments are on Monday of next week. I think they're early a.m. At least for us, it's early a.m. And it's Grants Pass, Oregon v. Johnson. Now, in this case, Grants Pass, Oregon, as a city, basically is saying the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that prevents us from encampment sweeps unless there is ample space available takes away our ability to maintain safe streets, safe parkways, safe public spaces. You are getting in the way of us being able to clear what's very obviously bringing in disease and crime into our communities. And you're telling us that we can't clear out a place that is a hotbed of crime or disease if we don't have a bed available for every single person there? That's absurd. You can't run a city like this. Now, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said by committing an encampment sweep without offering shelter space, you are committing an unconstitutional act of cruel and inhumane punishment or unusual punishment. They're specifically citing the Eighth Amendment. Now, I find that to be insane, but that's what they ruled. And we've been waiting for years, for the U.S. Supreme Court to take this on, and finally they're taking it on. Now, the presumption is that the conservatives on the court, which you have a 6-3, majority, will side with the city of Grants Pass. I'm certainly hoping. I don't know. They might be very, very, very narrow in their ruling. But I'm willing to bet that they're more in line with at least what's being perceived as conservative thinking, even though I don't view this as inherently conservative. I don't think that this is an issue that's political at all. It becomes political, but I don't think on the surface it is. At the end of the day, you have to be able to clear out these encampments because you know that they're dangerous. Dangerous to the people living there and dangerous to the people who are walking by or living nearby. And this idea that because someone doesn't have another place to go, that they should be able to camp out and do whatever it is they want to do at these encampments is absolutely ludicrous. Especially in the context that they're offered shelter all the time and they say no. Whether we're talking about Grants Pass, Oregon or Seattle, Washington, they say no. The biggest problems that we're talking about, when we're talking about encampment sweeps, we're not talking about the average person who was just out of their luck and managed to land out on the streets. Those folks are trying to get help and they're within the system. And they're trying as hard as they can to get back on their feet. The people we're talking about are the chronically homeless. The people we're talking about are the drug addicts, the people who are dealing with mental illness but not getting treated. That's what we're talking about. They're not just like, quote unquote, you and I, one missed paycheck away from landing out on the streets. That is an absurd talking point. It is an absurd talking point. We know what's going on at these encampments. We can see it in full view. We can smell it. At the end of the day, we can even smell it. And I don't think that those of us who play by the rules, pay our taxes, should have to put up with this. Not in our neighborhoods. I believe in approaching this with compassion, because these are people who are in desperate need of help. But sometimes you have to get a little tough to get them to accept the offers of resources that we are constantly making. When they start saying no over and over and over again, yeah, my compassion kind of goes out the window a little bit. Just a little bit. I still feel bad for them, but we're doing what we can. You're saying no? Okay, well, then we're going to have to get a little bit tougher. And if that means you're going to feel harassed for a few weeks because you keep getting swept, okay. Ultimately, I think it's going to lead to them saying yes to offers of shelter because they don't want to be hassled anymore. And so I don't care if your feelings are hurt in the short term. If we can get you a part of the system, get you indoors, get you with a case manager, get you on the right path to get the treatment that you might need or the resources for, job trainings that you might need. If the end goal is to get you off the street and on the right path, okay, be upset all you want. I don't care. Well, what do I care? You're mad. Something tells me you're only going to be mad in the moment, but once you're in your own apartment that you're paying for because you have a job now and you're clean and sober, something tells me you're not going to be mad then. In fact, something tells me you'll be thanking the very people who didn't enable you to stay on the streets. And the unfortunate reality is we've got a whole bunch of enabling with the housing first model, with the harm reduction model. I write about it at foxnews.com. It's in the opinion section. I give some examples of Seattle, but I focus a lot on San Francisco as well. And I'm hopeful that the Supreme Court will make the right decision. And just like the nerdy legal part of me can't wait to actually hear it. In fact, I think I've told you on this podcast before, there's a website called Oye, O-Y-E-Z, but they have a podcast in which they upload every single oral argument that gets recorded in front of the Supreme Court, because there's no cameras, but there are audio recordings. And they post the full thing as if it's a podcast, and I love it. I listen to it almost daily when they're in session. It's just, to me, it's fascinating. It's really smart legal minds, plus, you know, Sotomayor speaking and arguing and questioning. I just really love it. It's, again, it's Oye, O-Y-E-Z. You're listening to The Leftovers. I'll see you tomorrow.